from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics.
Welcome to this segment of Outpost Outspoken. I'm your host, Anna Henderson. In this episode, we talk with Ron Hansen. He tells us about his career at U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground and his time serving active duty in the Army. Ron, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, at one time in your life, you were flying high in the skies. Since retiring, your job is much different. Your feet are firmly planted on the ground. You started at YPG in 2015. Can you tell me about your current job as an information technology specialist? What do you do?
Yeah, I came from flying in the skies as a helicopter crew chief when I started my military career. And now I've come to the sunniest place in the world, and I'm down on the ground in an office with no windows for 10 hours a day.
Tell me about your job and how it plays a role at YPG.
All right. I'm an information technology specialist. I manage computer systems that provide applications to our end users for a variety of tasks. The different software packages that we provide, things like range activity, knowing what all's going on downrange. The different tests that are going on, inventory management for hand receipts and property accountability. We also have, it came out, really got big during COVID, is remote video feeds of the tests going on. And that allows customers that are having tests going on here at Yuma Proving Ground, they're able to watch the progress of those tests from any location.
And that made such a huge difference during COVID because people weren't flying to come and observed test. However, YPG never stopped testing. So this allowed that testing to continue, but the customer to still have that visibility on their test. Before coming to YPG, you served in the Army in several different capacities and roles. And that's actually where you learned about the information technology that you do now. Tell us about your career.
Well, I kind of progressed. I started out as the helicopter crew chief and got deployed to Desert Storm, went through all that. And then when I got back from that, I had some college experience. And so I went through OCS and became a commissioned officer and was a heavy maintenance supervisor for a maintenance company. I just always had this knack for technology and stuff, so I ended up going a branch transfer into the Signal Corps with wireless communications, satellite communications, all things signal, and worked my way up through a company command of a signal company and then into the division headquarters as a signal officer, network operations officer, and along the way went to more schools, military schools, that increased my knowledge and capacity as a signal officer.
So in total, you served 27 and a half years in the Army, and some of that was enlisted, also National Guard and Reserves. Tell us a bit about how those are all so different. National Guard, you always hear that 1 week in a month, and and it seems like it's, oh, okay, it's doing it part-time, but when there's a natural disaster, that's who gets called in first, correct?
Right, yep. And so most of my National Guard time was in the state of Missouri. I also worked for the Department of Health and Social Services as my full-time regular job, and they had a really good program where they supported the National Guard and let me go away to different things. You probably heard about the different hurricane disasters. Well, states have a reciprocity program where, like, Missouri National Guard would go down to help out Florida or Louisiana, like during Katrina, Ivan, and a couple other hurricanes. So I was kind of the guard bum. I was always volunteering for any extra duties that I could go to, and it worked out good with my civilian employer.
Okay, now I'm starting to find out and realize why you chose Yuma. We don't have natural disasters.
Oh,
you came to
definitely
the one place with no natural disasters.
Yeah. And that kind of goes into my being a civilian pilot. You can fly 365 days a year here. Back in Missouri and other places like that, you're waiting for that weekend to go out and enjoy some time flying, and boom, thunderstorms move in or snowstorms. And down here, we just don't have any problems with that.
You don't have to worry about that. Tell me about holding a pilot's license. Is something that you got when you were in high school, which I think is incredible, and you've continued to fly and also kind of progress your experience. Tell me about that.
Yep. So in high school, I worked out at the airport, gassing up airplanes and spent every cent on flying lessons and got my commercial multi-engine and instrument ratings. And then went off to college to become an electrical engineer, but that didn't work out so well. And that's when I decided to join the Army and be a crew chief.
Now you have a flight instructor's license as well.
Yeah, I took probably about a 20-year break in flying and then got back to where it had always been a passion of mine, and I got back into it. And so to help increase my knowledge of the subject, I started taking more lessons to become a flight instructor so that I could turn around and give back to the aviation community.
And what's your favorite place to fly to?
I think from here in Yuma, Catalina Island is a really fun spot to go out to. I've been there a few times, and they have a nice little restaurant right on the airfield there, so we can go out and grab a burger. We used to call that the $100 hamburger because you would spend about $100 on fuel to go somewhere and buy, you know, a $10, $20 hamburger. But these days, I think that's more like a $500 hamburger.
Well, hey, it still sounds like a great trip. And, you know, I want to thank you for your time today. I really appreciate getting to know you and learning about your career. So thank you for what you do for the Army here at U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, and also for serving our country.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Welcome back to Outpost Outspoken. I'm your host, Anna Henderson. Today, Jim Stickney joins me. Listeners might recognize his name because he has been on the podcast before talking about his different roles at U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, because he does a lot. However, in today's segment, Jim is giving us information on the combined federal campaign. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Anna. I appreciate being here.
Let's start by explaining what the combined federal campaign is.
Let's go back years ago, probably back in prior to the 1960s. Charitable organizations had to go out and contact each individual in the federal government one at a time. The charitable organizations ended up talking to the Office of Personnel Management for the federal government and said, hey, is there a better way to do this? So what they did was they went ahead and decided to pull all the charitable organizations together, provide the Office of Personnel Management a catalog of those that the employees could choose from. So it was constructed in a way that makes it super easy for the employee to identify the cause that they may be passionate about and to select, based on a number code, select that charitable organization that they want to give to. So that's kind of a little bit of the genesis of the combined federal campaign. It's morphed into what it is today. It's a pretty streamlined organization and a pretty streamlined way for federal employees to give collectively together, because it makes a bigger impact in the charitable world.
And who is eligible to give through the CFC?
So we have active duty, so federal employees. So when we say federal, a lot of times we think Department of the Army, and we don't think the bigger level, like federal employees. You're talking like FBI and you're talking CIA, but all federal employees, federal retirees, and then federal contractors are able to give to the combined federal campaign.
And this campaign happens yearly. Why is it important, and really what separates it from other programs?
It's the volume of people and in the way and the ease of giving that separates it from other programs. Again, the other programs are singular in nature, where this is a combined, as the name says, a combined federal campaign, pulling hundreds of thousands of federal people together and encouraging each other within their office spaces or whatever to give and to talk about the organizations that they want to give to.
It's important to note that these organizations are local, but also nationwide. So you can choose to give to an animal organization that's locally in your community, or you can choose to give something that's a broader reach.
Right. And it even goes out. I think I've seen some organizations that are actually at the world level, you know, World Wildlife Federation or some of these other organizations, if you want to give at the world level. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Tell us about the several ways that people can give.
Well, it's kind of unique. They've expanded back in the early years. You just had the options of payroll deduction or by submitting a hard copy slip. But now they've really gone above and beyond. You've got you can pay with credit and debit. You can do Venmo. You can do an EFT, electronic funds transfer, like from your bank account, which is almost like it's an electronic check. It's similar to writing a check that you can do. So text, you can text to pay. It's really come into the 21st century. So I don't think there's a way that somebody would want to pay that they couldn't.
Okay, that's good to know. So December 3rd, 2024 is a designated day of giving, but people have until January 15th to enroll in the program. Tell me what's planned for December 3rd.
So December 3rd, we're going to have the various YPG leadership, YPG commander, command sergeant major. They're going to be at the gates. They're going to be handing out some information on combined federal campaign, trying to encourage everybody to, you know, if it's in your heart to give, I encourage you to give. And then also there's going to be some, we're going to have some tables set out across YPG at various locations for people to come up and that may not have wanted to ask questions on electronic means, whether Teams or email, can come up and actually talk to somebody face-to-face and get a little bit more information on what it's about. And maybe if they need help, what codes they need to use to be able to give and how to look up a basically how to look up an organization they may want to give to and ask questions. If they didn't see an organization, they can give us the name of it, and then we can go up higher in leadership and say, hey, are we missing the organization? Is it not in the catalog? Is it, where is it at? And how can we give to that organization?
People around YPG will see the barometer that has the total goal for YPG, the current amount that we have raised collectively, and it has a QR code. That QR code will take you to the website. Just using Correct. Your phone. But for listeners who haven't seen that QR code, what is the website they can go to get more information?
GiveCFC.org is the website to go to look up the information, and you can access the various causes and the catalog there of organizations that you can give to.
Okay, Jim, is there anything else you want to share about this campaign?
No, I think we've really covered everything. I just basically wanted to share that, myself, Jim Stickney, or Veronica Clark, we're both Garrison and ATEC, we're combined as a YPG team to pull together and try to elevate the giving. We've really done well so far this year. Last year, we gave about a little over $4,000 combined, and we've doubled that already. $8,040 is what we're sitting at right now. So the Colonel's goal is $10,000. We've got plenty of time. I don't see an issue with that. So I just appreciate everybody who has given, and I know people's got it in their heart, and they're trying to factor in holidays and Christmas and everything is in there as to what to give. But any little bit that you can scrape up to give, it can go a long way.
And it could be a one-time or reoccurring, so it doesn't Correct. Need to be forever, but you can give whatever you can. All right, Jim, well, thank you for your time today, and also thank you for everything you do for YPG.
Oh, thank you, Anna. I appreciate you having me here today.
You're welcome.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.